You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to another Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And, you know, we are ready to turn over the pages of the book and enter the NCAA women's basketball season. And I love my college hoops, and I'm certainly looking forward to spending the entire season talking about it with you. And, you know, we've got a first-time guest on the show right now that is going to be really kicking up some noise this year. And I am pleased to welcome, for the first time on Dishin' and Swishin', Coach Aston from Texas. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. It's a privilege to be up talking to you this morning.
Well, Coach, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. And, you know, Coach, Texas is a program that, you know, has been a bit of a sleeping giant. And, you know, one thing that kind of caught me a little by surprise, congratulations on the preseason selection to be number one. But this is exactly 10 years since the last time Texas was a preseason number one in the Big 12.
It is exactly 10 years. And, you know, the one thing that I couldn't remember was whether the year that we went to the Final Four in 03, where we picked to win it that year. And I guess what you're talking about is the following year. So the following year, we were actually picked. The year we won it, we weren't picked to win it. And then the following year, we were picked. That is correct.
Well, this is certainly a great group you have this year. And, you know, what was amazing to me is the way that this team has been put together and all. Now, obviously, Texas is known for its basketball, and it's been a great hotbed for women's basketball on the high school levels for years. But, you know, you have really done an incredible job of getting the kids to stay home and go to the University of Texas.
Well, thank you a lot, and that is obviously a focus of ours in recruiting, and not that we need and want to be recruiting on the national stage, and I think that we will always do that, but, you know, it's sort of the saying about, you know, keep your own backyard clean, and I do feel like that the talent level in the state of Texas is so incredible that you should, if you're a Texas school in general, and especially the University of Texas, then you should be trying to keep the best players at home, and that's always been a philosophy of mine. Back when I was an assistant to Jody, I always felt like we should be getting the best players in the state.
Well, 11 of the 14 kids on the roster right now are from the state of Texas. And, you know, the other thing that jumps out at you is the depth and the experience that this group has. You know, when I was checking, I saw 8 of the top 9 scorers from last year's team are back.
Well, they are back, and that's the reason why I think I'm so encouraged and everyone is encouraged about the potential of this season for our team, is because for the first time, at least in 3 years that our staff has been here, we actually have some players that have been in the fires, and they're experienced starters, and they understand the level of play on a day-in and day-out basis. So even though we have some talented underclassmen, I think the most positive part of all of this is the fact that we have some upperclassmen that really, really can show the young players the ropes.
Well, when you start talking,
you have to have that. I mean, you need talented players continuing to come in your program, but you also need those older players to mentor them.
Well, it is a heralded freshman class, but, you know, really when you're starting to talk about this team, you have to start with Nneka Annampali, who is just a double-double machine out there and has been, you know, is one of your two seniors on the roster.
She is, and I'm really expecting great things from Nneka. She's put in an enormous amount of work this spring and summer on enhancing her game and getting to a level where she doesn't just play with her back to the basket. And from what I've seen in our early fall practices, you can definitely tell that she's been in the gym. So I think her ability to move herself around offensively instead of just, you know, sort of camping in the paint where people know exactly where she's at, and, you know, she did face some double teams last year, I think that her work put in the gym will enable her to really, really kind of have, I don't know, these breakout season, because I think everybody in the country knows who Nneka is, but I do think that she is anticipating having a terrific year.
Well, this will be a wide-open year for postseason honors this year. You know, it's considered a somewhat down year for college basketball, I guess, individual talents, which, You know, that's always a relative statement, I guess, when you look at some of the people that things are compared to. But she is definitely a legitimate All-American candidate and clearly one of the top players in the Big 12 Conference. You know, the other person that gets a lot of ink that I'm wondering about, can give us an update on, and is, of course, the 6'7 Imani McGee Stafford, who was honorable mention preseason conference. But a lot of that, I think, had to do with the injury that she has and people not sure exactly how much we're going to see of her this year.
No question. If Imani, you know, if there hadn't been the conversation about Imani's injury, then I think she would be being talked about in the same breath as NECA, and they would be being talked about as potentially the best front court in the country. But, you know, there is some uncertainty right now with Imani, and it's not, you know, we just get updates weekly, and she's making progress, but there's not a specific date on her return right now.
In September, she had surgery, right, to try and firm things up?
That's correct. And so it's a healing process. You know, not any hurrying up with the healing. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's going on, we're on track, and she's doing really well and working really hard in her rehab, but it's one of, you know, it's just something that we're going to have to see how quickly it gets better, and, you know, you don't want to rush a player like that, and we most certainly won't do that.
No, certainly with that kind of injury, too. We certainly have seen enough players over the years
on both the
men's and women's side with, you know, feet issues that, you know, or a lower leg that can really cause a problem. But, you do have some depth in that front court. I mean, you've got the two sophomores there, too, that are each 6'4 and 6'5, Lang and Vanderzee, that will certainly be able to help plug that middle, as you certainly like to play the aggressive defense.
They will. And on the flip side of that, I do think, just from looking at our team early, I do think that we even have the potential to go small. So, again, NECA's ability to move around a little bit and our sophomore's ability to give us some depth in the paint enables us to look at some different lineups, and I think that'll be fun to play with a little bit. And obviously this is based on our freshmen and sophomores making some strides, but I anticipate that happening.
Well, let's move on, as you gave us the segue, right into the freshman class. In particular, and of course, Ariel Atkins is the one that gets all the praise, preseason freshman of the year in the conference selection. But, you know, she is certainly an exciting player to watch. So let's start with Ariel.
Well, she's a fun one to start with, no question. Ariel's just really special in a lot of ways, and, you know, a lot of the qualities that she brings to our team and brings to our program are intangible. She's the type of player, and college coaches would agree with this because we all watched her on the summer circuit and in high school basketball, and what caught everyone's eye with Ariel was just simply her communication skills on the floor and her leadership. She's a terrific teammate, player, one of those players that wants to be great every day, and she plays like there's no tomorrow. So I call her qualities the it factor, because you don't see that every day as a recruiter. You don't see it as a college coach, and she definitely has it. And then on top of the it factor, she has some really good skill. I mean, she can shoot the three. She's a lefty that can put it on the floor and pop up over your head and shoot a jump shot, but also a very unselfish player. And the thing I love about her the most, she's a terrific rebounder.
And there is no question that playing USA basketball is a ticket to incredible experience and skill development. So I am sure that you were not upset to see her playing, on the USA national stage this summer.
Well, I wasn't at all. First of all, she got the opportunity to be around some phenomenal coaches, starting with Dawn, and I know Dawn well. And any time that you can put your players around icons in the game, then I think that's going to always be a positive thing for them. And for Ariel in particular, it's sort of like we've been waiting on her to have that opportunity, because she was sort of an unknown coming into her senior season, because she didn't play on the summer circuit as much as some other players. So she was a little bit of a late bloomer as far as people's recognition of her. So that final opportunity she got before coming into her freshman season, I thought was well-deserved, first of all. But I'm happy for her, because I do think that she will be one of those players that will be in that pool of talent with USA Basketball from this point forward.
for people that may not be familiar, you had mentioned the growth of the sophomore class and then, of course, the rest of the incoming freshmen. Can you just briefly give a synopsis of some of the players and what people should be looking for? You know, now with this Big 12 network showing all the women's games, we should all be able to see Texas play, too, and up here in New England, in addition to everything else going on, and maybe get a little bit more out of more viewing out of you guys.
Well, absolutely, and not only that, but I think people are just now figuring out how powerful the Longhorn Network is. You talk about the Big 12 games being on nationally, but also the staying power of the network, and when I say that, I mean the Longhorn Network. It's in, you know, millions of households now, and I think 3 years ago when I first got here, you know, there weren't as many cable networks that offered the network, and now we're just missing probably one network, so to say. So I think that has opened up so many doors as far as people on the national scene having the opportunity to see our team. And, you know, we were just at this point where we needed to be a team that people wanted to watch, but I think that availability is definitely going to be there for Texas. So I'm excited. I'm excited about where we are, you know, the young players that are going to bring. They just bring a different talent level, definitely, but also a different athleticism to our team. And you could start with our sophomores. Kelsey Lane got a lot of playing time last year, and obviously will be looked at early to contribute maybe a little bit more than she's ready for, but you never know until you get them out there. I do think that her playing time last year will be very valuable to her. Now, Lily will give us some time off, you know, just be able to give those guys a break. She's still in a learning process, so it will be a learning curve for her. Brianna Taylor is someone that I think is a little bit of a hidden gem right now, but she was out the first semester last year as a freshman and just adds a different athleticism to us. And then I think everybody knows who Nakia Jones is. She was sort of an instant microwave offensive player. Every time she went in the game, something happened, and it was usually pretty good. And we joke about this all the time. Nakia averaged 12 minutes last year and 11 points. So there's quite a bit of productivity going on with her, and I think as she goes along, she will continue to be able to work herself into more minutes. You can't deny the productivity that Nakia brings to the table. And then lastly, our freshman. I think that the one that we're not talking about a lot that is going to add a different dimension to our team is Brooke McCarty, because she has a point guard mentality. She understands when to pass, when to shoot. She definitely has some range that will be different for our team, because last year that was one of our problems, is that we didn't have enough three-point shooters. And I think adding Brooke and Tasia Foleman, who is another young athlete that really has surprised all of us, really, on the floor, just because she's so fearless. All of those players will bring something different to the table for our team, and we feel like the pieces of the puzzle are being put together.
Well, first, you know, of course, I meant the Longhorn Network. Thank you for picking that up. I had said the Big 12. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, you guys, the Longhorn Network is the one that we're now getting everywhere. So,
right.
But also now, you know, you mentioned how you're going to get, you know, you're going to throw some people into the fire. Well, you guys didn't exactly give them much of a warning with the schedule that you know, by November 30th. At Stanford, at UCLA, and hosting Tennessee, you're going to find out really quickly what they're made out of, aren't you?
No question, and we enjoy that. I think last year we had a similar type schedule, and our first year I didn't think that we did. So we made some adjustments to our schedule, and I do think that there has to be some balance. Obviously, every night can't be like that, but it's good for your players, and I think they enjoy playing those types of teams. They're all very, very competitive. You know, two of them are on the road, and then we finish up non-conference play before Christmas, going to Little Rock in the SEC Challenge against A&M. So all of those games together will definitely give us a gauge of where we're at, but it will also prepare the freshmen for Big 12 play, which I think is the most important thing. If you don't put some challenges in front of you in non-conference play, then Big 12 play can be a slap in the face to young players, and we experienced that 2 years ago, and it's just not something that you want them to go through in the fire. I mean, you want them to kind of have an understanding before you start conference play what they're getting ready to get into. So So I think those games will help our young players.
Now, this year is a little bit different in the Big 12, as you mentioned, getting ready for conference play. In the fact that in the past there's been Baylor, and then there's also a lot of other really good teams, but Baylor seemed to always be the prohibitive favorite when Griner was there, especially, of course. But now you look, I love my Cary West Virginia teams because they play defense, and that's one of my favorite things. I love them from the Big East days. Kim's going to have a great team again, of course. Your squad is looking phenomenal. Four teams got first place votes in the preseason poll. For a conference as strong as the Big 12, that's a really odd occurrence.
Well, I think that if you look back on the history, I'm not sure that would be the case as far as parity. I do think that there was a point in time where there were a lot of teams that could have easily been tickling the league. The dominance by Baylor has been, I hope, an exception that will change. They have the championship right now and have had it for quite some time, so it's hard not to talk about them and talk about how good they've been. But I do think that there are some teams, in particular this year, that you could probably just pick out of a hat who has the opportunity to win it. You didn't mention Oklahoma State, and I do think they're going to be very good. And, Bill and Sherry are always good. And, I think TCU, Kansas State, Kansas, you could go down the line.
So we could have mentioned all of them. But
You really could have. And I think, you had to pick someone, so maybe a few more teams picked us, maybe because of experience, but it would be hard not to start with Baylor because they've won it, and somebody else has to win it before we stop talking about that. So, in my opinion, they should have been the pick because, that's the way it's been, and I think we all want to do something about that and will, but they're going to be really good. So I just think there's just going to be a lot of us that are going to be good.
There is certainly, as you mentioned.
Definitely some balance this year in our league.
Top to bottom, this is a really strong conference this year.
It is, and that's the fun thing about the Big 12. We talk about that a lot. It's been 15 straight consecutive seasons that our conference has led the country in attendance. I want to say maybe this is the 16th season in a row. But when you start talking about that, you start talking about teams that continually bring in fans, and that makes it more fun. It makes it more difficult because you go on the road, and it's just extremely, extremely hard to win on the road. And the fact that we play each other twice creates a one-through champion. It creates something different than other leagues, because you have other leagues that maybe potentially in a certain year, a team might not play another team that would have been maybe a very competitive game. With our league, everybody plays each other twice. So I think it makes for really, really tough matchups because you know each other really well. You play each other for the second time, and sometimes it would depend on, which one of us gets that particular road game at a certain time of the year.
And there's no doubt that the network saw this too, because you've got several games on ESPN, Baylor, West Virginia on ESPN, Fox Sports also has the other Baylor game, Iowa State, Oklahoma. So they're not just Longhorn Network games. You're getting national coverage already, and it's going to be a great run to see exactly who is going to end up cutting down the nets in Dallas at the end of the Big 12 season.
No, it will be a lot of fun, and I think every game will matter. Because I do think that there won't be a runaway. I think it'll be a grind of a season where every team is going to know that every game is going to count, and very likely it could come down to really what it did last year, which was the last game of the year.
When you look at a season like that, as we'll bring closure to this, you look at a season that you've got to go through, and then you look at some of the other conferences. In particular, I'm up here in New England. I'll mention, Connecticut having the weak conference. Now, they schedule a lot of strong out-of-conference games, as do you. Is it better headed towards the postseason, in your opinion, to have a schedule like yours where you're playing all these tough teams and every game matters down to the last seconds? Or would you like something maybe a little softer where it's a little less of a grind?
Well, Oh, I think you always go back to the student athlete experience, and when student athletes talk about what's important to them and what they like competition. You know, all they talk about is the game. Not very many of them really and truly, if you really ask them to tell you the truth, they would say that they love practice. They love the game. And they like playing all of the time. So when you think about what they like playing, and they like playing in front of people. So the Big 12 gives that. They give that. That's an advantage for our league is the fact that what student athletes really, really like are playing competitive games in front of people, then our league is head and shoulders above everyone, I think, in that aspect because of how strong our attendance is across the board in our league.
Well, Coach Karen Aston, I want to thank you for taking time. It's going to be a great year for the Longhorns. And honestly, I got to admit, I always found that when Texas basketball is good, the whole country enjoys better basketball. I just think that you guys are one of those programs that is a bellwether, and I think that it's important that you have a great season and that you have good programs every year, and it's great to see you cruising towards the top again.
Well, I sure appreciate that. We're looking forward to the season. It's going to be fun.
Well, you know, Coach, you only missed the postseason once in your entire coaching career, so I know we're going to be seeing you in
no
the
question.
NCAA tournament.
No question. We have our sights set a little higher than that, but it was fun to get back there last year, and our players are hungry to do that again.
Well, Coach, good luck to you, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you. Look forward.
This is Matthew Mitchell, head coach of the University of Kentucky, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you back to Dishin' and Swishin' this week on Hoop Feed. And as our first coach that we interviewed today, Karen Aston of Texas, has had her team on the rise and in the news, I've got another coach who is doing similar things with a program on the other side of the on the other coast, all the way up here in New Jersey. And you've heard recently a lot about Seton Hall because of the whole situation with Aisha Simmons. And I'm pleased to have Coach Tony DiZella join us now. Coach, how are you?
David, great. And I'm pleased to join you and your fantastic program, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Coach, the first thing I got to say is, you know, I'm looking over to, you know, the media information, everything the school gives is, you know, trying to get ready and get all my facts straight for this. And I'm looking, and it says that head coach Anthony DiZella is in his 21st season as a head coach. Coach, now, I have seen you, and you look like you should be carted in the New Jersey bars. 21 years?
Thank you very much. Actually, I think they actually forgot my 2 years at LIU, so honestly, this is my 23rd year, David, and it seems like yesterday, but I'm blessed. I've got great players and great staff. Keeps you a little young-looking, and I have a really good hairdresser.
I'm telling you, I want to get the secret to that. I want to know how you keep it that color is the biggest thing for me, man. Let me tell you.
a lot of chemicals. We'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, one thing that certainly put a few more gray hairs in there was this whole situation with Aisha Simmons. And, you know, first thing I want to say, you know, if anybody doesn't know or follow Coach on Twitter, then you don't know that, you know, Coach has been outspoken about things that are perceived as being wrong in college basketball, in women's basketball, period. So this is not a first-time thing where he's had his run-ins with people or whatever the case may be. But in this case, this was a situation where you know, the student athlete was not being looked out for, that's for sure, by the NCAA rules.
Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a unique situation. And what the NCAA told us, never seen anything like this before. It was so unique, they did grant her the year. I mean, they had never done that before without the previous school support. That's how strong her case was. But they granted her the year as sort of a compromise. And told her she'd have to sit out a year because we did not have the support waiver from the University of Alabama.
And of course, then the media picked up the story, and there was a lot of great coverage, a lot of big names, you know, Billis, Vitale, Fraschillo, all jumping in, you know, on the side of this young lady. And, you know, she must have felt, you know, really good that all of these people, you know, now have heard of her.
She felt really good, but she felt very overwhelmed. See, the thing is, and I think this is a big crux of the problem, Deja's a very private individual. And when she met with someone at Alabama, not basketball related, in administration, she was very close about what she wanted to tell them. And I think it was perceived as, you know what, she was just leaving them hanging or had other alternative, you know, reasons for leaving. When now she just didn't want to share her family's, certainly medical history with everyone. And I think Alabama took it a different way. And, you know, obviously Deja took it a different way, and it didn't come across the way it needed to come across. Crux, the problem that we had, and, you know, while it took too long for it to be resolved, Alabama did come to the conclusion that, you know what, it needed to be resolved and finally did do the right thing with, after, unfortunately, too many things that weren't, correct from the whole process.
Well, and absolutely, you certainly bring up an outstanding point. You know, everybody was glad to see that Deja finally get the approval to play this year. You know, but people do forget sometimes that even though the student athletes are out in the public in the fact that they are student athletes, that doesn't mean that their private lives are something that necessarily we all have to delve into. So
absolutely. And just ending on that point, you're 100% correct. Deja didn't want everyone to know her brother, you know, was in stage 3 renal and, kidney failure, and that he was going for dialysis 3 times a week. And she didn't want everyone to know that her mom worked 2 jobs a day for close to 16 hours a day because she needed to be able to support, you know, her son's medical expenses. Like, that's not something Deja wanted out there. And unfortunately, it came out there. And that's where Deja really got upset and honestly got angry, because she's like, listen, it's not about, if it's about me, it's about me. But everyone now, I've had to include other people, that it's not fair to them. And, you know, that's what she's upset with Alabama, not reading what they were supposed to read and stuff. But, you know, in the end, they did do the right thing. And she's so appreciative of Alabama for, allowing her to, supporting the waiver.
And as you said, you know, that is the bottom line, that she has gotten it. She's going to be playing this year. And, Friday night is the big kickoff of the season. And, the men's and the women's programs will have their first night events. And, you know, you have got to be really excited about this group. You know, you're coming off a great 20-win year last year. And a trip to the tournament where I think you made it to the third round. And you're bringing
316 of the WNIT. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And you're bringing back 4 out of your 5 starters.
Correct. And, the spot we lost was a 2-guard. And obviously, Deja fell into that spot. And hopefully, you know, she'll be able to continue to help build on our success. And then, you know, we all our players are a year older. I think we understand the system a lot more. We have our kids and our team, so we're very excited. I don't think we've set a record for season ticket sales for women's basketball already. So, I mean, you know, the fans are behind us, and they've been great supporters. And they were great supporters before, right from the first day I got here, before the whole Deja thing. But I think the whole Deja thing rallied everyone around it. And I think, you know, we have a real strong fan base and a passionate fan base.
You know, it's an interesting situation. You know, the whole changes with the conferences. You know, we look at it up here in Connecticut and say, geez, you know, it would have been nice to still have that Big East with all of the history that went with it. And, of course, the rivalry games. There was always things that made it fun. Not having the UConn and Notre Dame in there any longer, the Big East is now a much more open conference. And there are programs like yours that have really taken the initiative in going after being a top program in the conference. And that's something that you really are to be lauded for. You know, instead of just, you know, saying, okay, so that's not the same, you guys have taken that as something that is a challenge to take it to the next level.
Absolutely, and you know, we have some great coaches in our league and great teams. And now even look at, listen, we didn't win a national championship in our conference last year. But what we did do was, in our first year, with a lot of new coaches, we still took a team to the Sweet 16 in DePaul of the NCAA, took a team to the round of 32 in the NCAA with St. John's, where they, you know, played very well. We took five teams to the WNIT, including our team, which went to the Sweet 16 and then lost to the eventual champion in double overtime. So we do have a really good basketball league, and I think it's only going to get better because the more we solidify the greatness of the rivalries that we're developing, the areas that we have in our schools, the admission of our schools, and the academics of our schools, I think it's only going to get better. We already had seven teams in postseason, you know, a Sweet 16 NCAA team, a Round 32 NCAA team, Sweet 16 WNIT team. You know, we have real good basketball. Yes, we didn't win the national championship, but you know what? You come in our league, you're going to be tested and have a really good experience playing women's college basketball.
Hey, only one team each year is the one that can say that they that conference won the national championship. So why not? You know, yep. Hey, I'll borrow from yours. I think one of the great lines that has been used, Tepler, is why not Seton Hall? Why not the Big East? You never know.
Absolutely. And, you know, DePaul made a great run to the Sweet 16 last year and had a great chance to even make it to the Elite Eight, you know, losing a tough game to Texas A&M, a team that St. John's had beaten from our league. And if St. John's goes to round 32, obviously they had a tough draw in the next round, but, you know, held their own. And, you know, that's what we want to strive for, Dave. We want to be relevant at Seton Hall. We want to make our program relevant. And I believe with the kids that we have, the talent that we're bringing in, the commitment from my administration and our fan base, we're going to be relevant.
And you certainly have some talent there, as you mentioned, the kids you have there. You know, you start, you know, you've got back Tabitha Richardson Smith and Khadijah Simmons, both averaged over 16 points a game last year in their respective positions. You know, you're playing an up tempo pace that always makes for a more enjoyable game instead of slow down. Not to mention other coaches that may be in your conference. You know, the team definitely looks like one that should put up good numbers and should have a really good year.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we really have, you know, to our advantage is our experience factor. We have three kids, obviously, that with Janae Johnson being the third and Dee Dee Simmons and obviously Deja, that are all in their fifth to sixth year of college. We have another player, Bashay Ali, who's a junior eligibility in her fourth year of college. We have Tiffany Jones, you know, an older kid, you know, who's, you know, played in junior college. You know, we have a veteran group of kids, but then we also mix in some young, talented kids as well. And, you know, obviously, Tab Richardson didn't get a chance to play as a freshman for whatever reason. But when we saw the talent that was there, we found a way to, you know, put her in, and she clearly was a very good player.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of mind boggles when you look at it. How, you know, certain players just, you know, you don't understand how things shake out the way that they do. I mean, but she definitely rose to the challenge. You know, she's a blast to watch, chucking up threes. You know, you give her the green light, and you know, she may not be as well known as some of the other players on the East Coast yet. But, you know, she is certainly a very, very talented player.
She is, David. She's legit. She's going to, I will argue, she's going to go down as one of the all-time leading scorers in Seton Hall history. And, you know, by the time she graduates, she's going to be considered one of the best players in Seton Hall history. I mean, we have, obviously, Dee Dee Simmons, who, you know, arguably next to, you know, Robin Cunningham and Jody Brooks, is probably, in, you know, Dana Wynn, one of the top five, six players in school history. I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind that Tab, and it's going to go down as a great player. And she can score the ball. She's made a great commitment to defense. You know, she comes to a long way. And, you know, her improvement has been tremendous. I know she won most improved last year. And I said, I won't shock if she won most improved this year. I know it's far-fetched, but she's very good. And so, obviously, you know, she's just old, getting older and more mature, and she's worked hard in her game. We do a lot of individual work, and she loves that.
The other thing that you look at your roster, and what's nice to see, you got 16 on the team. It's a deep team. You've got nine vets, seven newcomers, a really good mix. But one of the things that jumps out at you when you're looking at it is you're getting the kids to stay home. You're getting a lot of good New Jersey talent. You got some New York talent in there. And, you know, that's important for the growth of any program, is to get the local talent to be able to buy in and stay.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point you touch on. You know, and I hate talking about Deja because we have a great bunch of kids, but Deja is exactly that. Deja was New Jersey State Player of the Year coming out of high school. You know, when she wanted to transfer, now it was between us and St. John's. Obviously, pretty much any school in the country wanted her, but she wanted to come home and obviously be closer. And ultimately, we needed to get Deja for that reason, too. She's a great New Jersey player. And then you had, you know, two kids that in our program, Tara Emden, had a great year last year, and not a Big East recruited at all. It turned out to be a solid Big East freshman. And obviously, Kat Egan, who got hurt, she's going to be good. But we're in with a lot of kids. We even got a local New York kid there transferred back, and Liberty Gordon. So, you know, and we're in with a lot of good juniors and sophomores now in the state that have visited Seton Hall, that they care about Seton Hall. And I think for us, that's what we need to do, because that was the one thing that had kind of lost its way, the ability to keep the great players of Jersey home.
You know, one question I do have for you on the recruiting front, when you talk about that, is, you know, obviously the team that comes to mind when you're competing against is Rutgers. But Rutgers, now being in the Big Ten, no longer plays any local games unless it's at a conference or a home game. Have you found that that's helping you somewhat?
I think it will help us tremendously. I think that helps us. And I also think the fact that, we play Fridays and Sundays now. These parents can come and make a nice weekend of it and everything. I think that's really important.
Well, Coach, it's definitely looking like a great season's going to be for Seton Hall, and it's going to be a great season for the Big East. You know, there is certainly, you know, as you mentioned, the coaches are great. There's a lot of talent there. DePaul is always strong. Creighton has some really talented players there, too. And, of course, St. John's, as you mentioned. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is, and you know, I was saying to the staff the other day, this is not a two-bid league this year. This is a league that can get four or five bids. I mean, you have to look at, you know, we mentioned St. John's, great program. DePaul, great program. And clearly NCAA team. But Villanova, I mean, Coach, you know, Coretta is obviously an all-time great. He's got an all-time great associate head coach, and Coach Mulaney with him. You know, they their talent level is high. No one's a better coach. They're an NCAA tournament team without a doubt. Creighton, in terms of player of the year, and as well coach. And I think a big dark horse in our league this year is Providence. Coach Robinson Farfield's third year. She's a great coach. I've known her from when we coached against each other in the mid-majors. She's getting all her kids in there. Their talent level is, you know, very high. They're attracting five starters. And they are a cusp of the NCAA team as well. And then obviously, you know, there's a Paul, and then obviously Marquette and, you know, Xavier and Butler, all teams that, you know, can be right there.
Well, Coach, I want to wish you the best of luck. Congratulations on working everything through in the Simmons situation and persistence being paid off. You know, that's something that was great to see, and hopefully, the young lady will get a chance to, you know, work for that grad degree and get her privacy back as well to her personal life. You know, we certainly wish that and the best for her and for, of course, everybody in the program. It's looking like, why not Seton Hall?
Absolutely, David. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity and the time. I mean, your program is fantastic. You obviously follow the sport so well. The coverage is great, and anything that, you know, we can do to you know, support you and your program and get the word out how great a job you guys do is important, because that's part of our job. We have to ambassador this sport and make sure everyone knows it for the right reasons, not for the bad reasons. And that's why I was glad everyone came to their senses and did the right thing here with Deja and with Tisha Romero. And let's just talk about women's basketball and what a great sport it is. Thank you again.
My pleasure. Thanks again, Tony. Take care now.